Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Sudhir Pharma Limited Q4 and FY26 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. From the company, we have with us today Mr. Sujit Bayani, Managing Director, Mr. Shaneel Bayani, Director, and Mr. Ketan Vyas, Chief Financial Officer. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sujit Bayani, Managing Director at Sudhir Pharma Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good morning, everyone. On behalf of Sudhir Pharma team, I would like to thank you all for joining us today for our Q4 and FY26 earnings conference call and for your continued support and confidence in the company. FY26 has been a significant year for us, marked by multiple strategic milestones and meaningful progress across our businesses. During the year, we successfully completed our listing, acquired Nutrition Supply Services, NSS, in Europe to strengthen our nutrition platform, made substantial progress on our new greenfield manufacturing expansion, and also completed the groundbreaking and initiated construction of our battery materials project at Dahej in Gujarat. What makes this progress particularly encouraging is that it was achieved despite a challenging global operating environment marked by geopolitical uncertainties, volatility in raw material and energy prices, logistics disruptions, and evolving global trade dynamics. Even under these conditions, the company delivered resilient operational performance and growth to conclude FY26 on a positive note. These developments reflect the continued strengthening of our business fundamentals, customer relationship, manufacturing capabilities, and long-term growth platforms. As we move ahead, we remain focused on building the business with a discipline and a long-term approach while continuing to create value across all our key stakeholders. With that, I will now hand over the call to Shaneel, who will take you through the business and operational highlights in greater detail. Thank you. Over to you, Shaneel.
Good morning and a very warm welcome to all of you joining us today. FY26 has been one of the most transformational years in Sudhir Pharma's journey, marked by meaningful investments towards building the company's next phase of growth through capacity expansion, strengthening our global commercial presence, deepening customer engagement across international markets, and developing new growth platforms for the future. These investments were undertaken despite a highly volatile operating environment characterized by geopolitical uncertainty, raw material inflation, logistics disruption, energy supply challenges, and evolving global trade dynamics. As we enter FY27, we believe many of the strategic initiatives undertaken over the last 18-24 months are now beginning to translate into stronger customer engagement, improved market positioning, and better long-term growth visibility across the business. I would also like to take this opportunity to sincerely thank all our investors for the trust and support you have shown us throughout the journey. For those joining us for the first time, and as a brief refresher for our long-term stakeholders, I will begin by outlining our journey and the strategic direction that continues to guide our growth. Headquartered in Vadodara, Sudhir Pharma was established in 1989 with a single manufacturing facility and two calcium-based products. Over the years, the company has evolved from being a manufacturer of mineral-based pharmaceutical excipients into a technology-driven global supplier of mineral excipients and specialty ingredients. Today, we cater to customers across pharmaceutical, food, and nutrition segments globally. supported by a diversified portfolio of approximately 100 products. We currently operate 5 manufacturing facilities, 4 located in Gujarat and 1 in Ireland, which was added through the acquisition of NSS in May last year. NSS is a specialized nutrition blending company with a strong presence in critical segments such as infant nutrition and medical nutrition. At present, Sudeep Pharma serves customers in close to 100 countries with operations broadly organized under 2 key business verticals, pharma, food and nutrition, and specialty ingredients. Starting with our pharma, food, nutrition vertical, this business continues to remain the core pillar of Sudeep Pharma, contributing approximately 56% of our FY26 revenues. During the year, the vertical reported revenue growth of 10% over FY25. The performance was driven by continued healthy demand across our calcium and iron portfolio, with India and Europe being the key growth contributors geographically. Complementing our existing product portfolio, we are witnessing a strong rise in demand for the next generation mineral molecules such as bisglycinate, which we recently launched under our Absorbis brand portfolio. These ingredients are clinically proven for enhanced absorption in the human body, targeting key areas such as sleep, muscle relaxation, and recovery. These products are strategically positioned within higher value application. These products are strategically positioned within higher value application segments with superior realization and margin profile. With several key customer approvals already secured across North America and Europe, we expect this category to progressively become an important contributor towards both growth and margin expansion for the company, with the total global demand of approximately $1 billion for the bisglycinate ingredient category alone. While the business faced challenges during the year due to sharp increase in critical raw material prices, particularly phosphoric acid, arising from higher sulfur costs globally, we were able to successfully pass on the price impact to customers without material margin compression. This reflects the highly critical and functional role of our ingredients within the customer formulations, resulting in a strong customer stickiness and acceptance. The benefits of these pricing actions are expected to progressively reflect over the coming quarters. Importantly, with the addition of our upcoming greenfield facility, which I will discuss in more detail shortly, we believe this vertical is now entering its next phase of growth. Historically, growth in this segment was partially moderated due to infrastructure and capacity limitations. However, the new facility will significantly strengthen our capabilities in higher value molecules such as gluconates, glycinates, and citrates, while also expanding our overall manufacturing infrastructure for future growth. Coming to our specialty ingredients vertical, this business continued to demonstrate strong momentum during the year and remains our fastest growing segment. The contribution of specialty ingredients increased from 34% in FY25 to approximately 44% in FY26, with overall revenue growth of 62% compared to FY25, reflecting the increasing scale and strategic importance of this business. Revenue for the vertical grew from 172 crores to 280 crores during the year. This segment is particularly witnessing strong traction globally across critical applications such as infant nutrition, medical nutrition, sports nutrition, and dietary supplements, where customers increasingly value differentiated, high functionality ingredients supported by reliable supply capabilities. Looking ahead to FY27, we are particularly encouraged by the momentum we are witnessing across North America and Europe. Over the last 12 to 18 months, we have made meaningful investments in strengthening our commercial presence, technical teams, inventory infrastructure, warehousing capabilities, and customer engagement across both these strategic markets. We are now beginning to see the early benefits of these investments through stronger customer conversion, improving wallet share, deeper engagement with large global accounts, and a growing pipeline of commercialization opportunities. Importantly, these markets represent a structurally higher value product mix for the company and therefore remain strategically important not only from a growth perspective but also from a long-term margin expansion standpoint. While we remain mindful of the broader macroeconomic environment, we believe FY27 could mark an important inflection point in scaling our international business. The growth during the year was primarily led by product expansion, wallet share gain, and new customer approvals. Compared to FY25, we received around 51 new customer approvals in FY26, which are expected to meaningfully contribute to the growth of the business in the coming financial year. With respect to NSS, the acquisition we made in Ireland earlier last year, the integration process across operations and supply chain continues to progress smoothly. To further strengthen the business and accelerate expansion outside of Ireland, we recently appointed Mr. Matthias Fredriksson as the new business head of NSS. Matthias brings over 30 years of industry experience across the pharma and nutrition ingredient sector in Europe, along with strong market relationships and extensive commercial expertise. His previous experience, particularly with one of the world's largest vitamin and mineral companies, is expected to play an important role in accelerating NSS's expansion across high-potential European markets, especially within infant nutrition and critical care segments. Moving to our new greenfield manufacturing project, this facility has been strategically developed to strengthen both our manufacturing infrastructure and future product capabilities for the pharma, food, and nutrition verticals. During the year, the project experienced some delay in commissioning, primarily due to shortages and disruptions in LPG and energy supplies. However, I am pleased to share that we have now successfully completed internal production validation and qualification at the facility and have initiated customer approval process. We expect customer qualification timelines to range between 6 to 12 months depending on product categories and customer audit requirements. Once operationalized at scale, the facility will significantly enhance our capabilities in high-value next-generation mineral molecules, including glycinate and gluconate. I would now like to share an update on Sudip, which represents one of the most exciting long-term growth opportunities for the company. During FY26, we successfully conducted the groundbreaking ceremony for our battery materials project at the Dahej, which remains on track for commissioning of phase one capacity of 25,000 metric tons per year by April 2027. Work at the site continues to remain a key priority as we push to bring capacities online in line with growing customer demand. At SAM, customer engagement and commercial traction continue to strengthen significantly during the year. Global customers across the LFP value chain are increasingly accelerating their China plus one sourcing strategies, driven by supply chain diversification requirements, geopolitical considerations, and the need for long-term supply security across critical battery materials. This is creating a significant opportunity for Sudip Advanced Materials, particularly given our positioning as one of the very few companies globally capable of offering a reliable ex-China source of battery-grade iron phosphate at scale. During the year, we materially expanded our global qualification pipeline and are currently engaged with 42 customers across the cathode, cell, EV, and ESS ecosystem, spanning across Korea, Japan, Indonesia, India, Europe, and the United States. Out of these 42 customers, 22 customers are currently at the lab validation stage. 14 customers have progressed to pilot scale evaluation and six customers have successfully completed commercial validation and are currently in active offtake discussions with us. Encouragingly, we have also started receiving initial commercial purchase orders, including approximately 700 metric tons over the last month alone, supporting customer efforts to diversify sourcing away from China. Based on the strength of current customer engagement, ongoing qualification progress, and commercial discussions underway, we are increasingly confident about the demand environment for our phase one capacity of 25,000 metric tons. While we remain disciplined in our execution approach, the current trajectory of customer engagement, qualification progress, and ongoing commercial discussions give us increasing confidence in the demand visibility for this business vertical. We believe the battery materials industry is entering a powerful long-term structural growth cycle. The rapid expansion of energy storage infrastructure, particularly to support the next generation of AI-driven data centers, is expected to remain a major growth driver for this segment. During FY 2026, we delivered healthy growth across both business verticals, expanded our global customer base, strengthened our international presence, and continued to execute on key strategic priorities. As we enter FY 2027, we are encouraged by the momentum across the business. The investments we have made over the last several years are beginning to translate into accelerating commercial activity, deeper customer relationships, and a growing opportunity pipeline. With an enhanced operating platform, increasing global relevance, and multiple drivers for future value creation, we believe Sudhir Pharma is well positioned to capitalize on the opportunities ahead. With that, I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Ketan Vyas, our CFO, who will take you through the financial performance for Q4 and FY 2026 in greater detail.
Thank you, Sunil, and good morning, everyone. We are pleased to report strong financial performance for Q4 and FY 2026 despite a volatile operating environment. This performance passed the pricing impact to customers without material margin compression during the period. Coming to financial year 2026 financial highlights, revenue from operations for FY 2026 grew by 27.9% on year-on-year basis to ₹642.3 crores as compared to 501.9 crores in FY 2025. EBITDA for FY 2026 also grew by 16.8% to ₹221.9 crores as against ₹189.9 crores in FY 2025. EBITDA margin for the year stood at 34.6% as compared to 37.8% in FY 2025. PAT for the year stood at ₹174.3 crores as against ₹138.7 crores in FY 2025. Coming to quarter Q4 FY 2026 financial highlights, revenue from operations for the quarter grew by 15.7% on YOY basis to ₹182.3 crores in Q4 FY 2026 as compared to ₹157.5 crores in Q4 FY 2025. EBITDA for the quarter stood at ₹62.6 crores as compared to ₹58.8 crores in Q4 FY 2025. EBITDA margin for the quarter stood at 34.3%. PAT for the quarter stood at ₹48.5 crores as compared to ₹44.2 crores in Q4 FY 2025. On the business mix, FY 2026, our export business contributed to 60% while domestic business contributed to 40%. For FY 2026, specialty business contributed to 44% while pharma, food and nutrition business contributed to 56%. Coming on the balance sheet side and explaining the working capital performance, during the year, our working capital days increased from 184 days to 213 days, which was mainly due to increase in inventory days. Our inventory value increased by 88 crores as compared to previous year, of which raw material increased by 41 crores and finished goods increased by 37 crores. Increase in finished goods inventory was largely strategic in nature to support customer commitments in the Europe and US region for the upcoming quarters. We are seeing the inventory getting liquidated in the current and the upcoming quarters. Further, on the raw material side, there were our price contract was scheduled to expire in March 26, especially for key raw materials like phosphoric acid. Considering the significant volatility in global phosphorus and related raw material prices, we proactively increased our raw material inventory to ensure supply continuity and mitigating procurement risk. Consequently, raw material inventory increased from 54 crore to 95 crore, representing an increase in 41 crores. There was also an impact on cut-off sales, because of which there was an increase in FG of 10 crores. That said, we are consciously focusing on improving balance sheet efficiency, and through tighter inventory management, better receivables collections, and overall working capital optimization, which should support our gradual normalization going forward. We are internally focused on managing our net working capital cycle and targeting to come around 150 to 160 days within this financial year. As of March 31st, 2026, the company's net debt stood at 33.6 crores with a net debt to equity ratio of 0.04x, reflecting a conservative and comfortable leverage position. With this, I would like to conclude the presentation and open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sanjay Jain from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for this opportunity. I got a few questions. First, on the pharma food and nutrition, I understand that we don't look at quarterly. But even for the year as a whole, the growth is 10%. I believe there will be some amount of pricing benefit which would have baked into it because of the raw material inflation, which is phosphoric acid. It appears that the volume growth in the segment is probably 5-ish percent or somewhere around it, if I take 5% as an inflation. How should we see this segment, and why the growth has been relatively muted when we compare it to the specialty? I thought we were looking for a faster growth even in the same segment.
Yeah, good morning, Sanjay ji. Thank you for the question. So I think while we don't have data maybe in the deck, I think pharma food nutrition has actually grown faster from a quantity standpoint. So product mix has changed. I think the quantity volume growth is north of 20% in this category. What we are seeing is for phosphates specifically, the price increase we have only passed on to the customers in Q1. So we have continued to honor the orders in March and April. You will see the partial benefit reflect in Q1 and more importantly in Q2 going forward. Also, phosphates is the category where our capacity utilization is at its optimum level. So as soon as we have the greenfield commissioned, significantly be able to give us flexibility in taking on larger offtake agreements or building wallet share specifically for phosphates.
Got it. But even if I look at from the EBITDA standpoint for the segment, it really doesn't show the 20% growth benefiting into the EBITDA. If I were to believe that the volume growth was 20%, the EBITDA growth is still a little underwhelming, in fact, for this entire year. What explains that?
You mean specifically EBITDA in general? Or
pharma food. No, EBITDA for pharma food and nutrition.
So I think there are a couple of things that we are doing, Sanjay bhai. I think one is so phosphates in general, I would say that is where, say for example, from a margin contribution, it probably has one of the larger margin contributions for the business. Other product categories which we have recently introduced into the category or as a product bisglycinate gluconates, the operational cost is currently higher because we are operating at lower capacity, running a temporary or I would say smaller capacity line. So you will see all these ingredients materially kind of deliver the margin that they're capable of once we move these product categories to the greenfield. Currently they are being operated, plus additionally what has happened is for pharma food nutrition, we have gone through a significant recruitment cycle to support the new greenfield that we have that we are going to be operating. But because we have not entirely started generating revenue, all those expenses of employees are also sitting in the pharma food nutrition vertical today.
So next year, how should we see for pharma food and nutrition with green plant already operational? I think we have largely done our hiring. All those heavy lifting we have already behind and already in the cost. How should this number look, say, in FY 2027-28? Should it grow at, say, 15% at least in terms of EBITDA?
I think that is the expectation. If not, and what we see or what we expect for 27 and 28, Sanjayji, is Europe and North America both were, I would say, underperformers for this category specifically. We are, as I mentioned earlier in the commentary, we have received a lot of key customer approvals, especially both in the States as well as the new category that we are launching. So we remain, you know, fairly optimistic for this category, and I think we should be, you know, comfortably positioned to achieve the growth that you mentioned in this category for both the years 27 and then for 28.
Got it. One for this quarter. On the other expenses, it appears that the cost has gone up quite sharply, both sequentially and YOY. What explains such a sharp increase in the other expenses?
So, Sanjayji, two factors here. I think YOY, NSS was not part of the, was not acquired last year, so that is the reason. But more importantly, for Q3 versus Q4, I would say there are a couple of one-time expenses. So one, there is approximate, I think, 3 crore CSR expenditure, which is in this quarter. Second, in March, you know, we had a significant shortage of LPG and our specialty ingredients vertical runs on this. So we basically paid a significant premium to secure, and we built a larger inventory. So around 1.5 crores is towards, I would say, for the month, higher in power and fuel specifically to LPG. And third, I would say there is a, I would not maybe call it, it's a one-time expense, but it's hit the expense. Because of certain production delays in March, because of lower capacity, we had to airlift material to our largest customer. So there's a 2 crore impact in selling and distribution specifically for this air freight that we did. So that is the why you see the other expense higher compared to Q3.
So this expense going forward should fall, right? Because LPG is now available, airlifting probably not happening, and the one-time expenses not being there. This will drop sequentially, right, when we look at Q1.
Exactly.
Got it. Now following on the specialty, and one comment you have made in your remarks that you have secured 500 metric ton of battery chemical material from a domestic player. Have we started manufacturing it commercially, or how it is? How do we plan this 500 metric ton to supply, or some of these supplies coming for us?
So, Sanjayji, two things. One, I think we received 700 metric ton orders for battery materials, and these are across domestic as well as global. I mentioned last time that we have commissioned around 5 to 7,000 tons, depending on how we run the plant, in our existing pharma facility to manufacture battery grade iron phosphate. So we are currently utilizing that capacity to service the 700 ton purchase order that we have. And so we will, the goal is to run 50% of that capacity to fulfill commercial orders, and the remaining 50% to help other customers in their validation and scale-up process.
Next year, it is fair to assume that we will be selling, say, 2,500 metric tons here or there in terms of the battery chemical, in terms of volume, right?
In FY27?
Yes, FY27.
That is a fair assumption, yes.
Got it. One on the specialty has been doing quite well, both on margin and growth. How does the order book look like for us in FY27? Should the growth momentum be maintained in the specialties?
Yes, I think specialty ingredients will continue to be the faster growing category. I think for 2027 also, we have a very good outlook. There are two categories which are growing extremely well. One is the encapsulation technology that we have. There, we were already working with the largest bakery in the world. In the last financial year, we have gotten approval with, I think, two of the other top five globally as well. We have very good visibility for this category. Secondly, we have the premix category for which we got approved with, say, the largest infant nutrition company. That will also materially contribute to the business in FY27.
Got it. Got it. Sunil, really helpful for with all those answers and I wish you best of luck for the coming quarters.
Thank you, Sanjay.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Nishita from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes. Am I audible?
Yes.
Hello. Yeah. Perfect. I had a few questions. One is on the battery material CapEx that we are doing. In the presentation, we've mentioned that in 4 years, we'll add 25,000 metric tons each year. Is it safe to assume that the CapEx for each incremental 25,000 of metric ton is going to be 300 crores?
Hi, Nishita. No, the current CapEx is higher because it also includes the land acquisition. While we are installing the equipment for 25,000 tons, we are developing the infrastructure, so all the buildings and the raw material processing and the utility area for our phase II as well. I had mentioned previously as well that to achieve our target of 100,000 tons, we are looking at a CapEx of approximately 600 crores.
Okay. 600 crores is for the full CapEx, full capacity of 100,000 metric tons.
That is correct.
Okay. What will be the revenue potential from this 100,000 metric ton at peak utilization?
Yeah. I mean, I would say the pricing has been fairly dynamic recently, but I think it would be fair to assume an average price of around $2. We say between 1,600 crores-1,800 crores is the potential for this at 100,000 tons utilization.
Okay. Okay. Understood. My next question would be, what is the total CapEx Amagra spending in FY27, including the battery material and the greenfield project?
Hi, Nishita. It's Ketan here. The gross CapEx spent during the year was 127 crores, of which we spent on SAM land purchase of 34 crores. We had the greenfield project spent, additional spend of 80 crores, and there was a maintenance CapEx of about 30 crores.
What is it going to be in FY27?
In FY27, we'll see major greenfield expansion is over, so maybe there would be around 10 crores for completing the greenfield project and a maintenance CapEx of 15 crores. That would be in the core business. Sunil already mentioned on the SAM CapEx for the FY27.
Right. Right. Understood. Also, if you could give some revenue outlook for FY27 and FY28, that would be really helpful.
Nishita, I think while we don't give direct guidance on revenue, but I think And, you know, as I was maybe mentioning to Sanjay ji as well, we have a very, I would say we are, you know, fairly comfortable and confident that 2027, we will continue the momentum that we have built this year. Both verticals, we expect actually pharma food nutrition to grow faster than it has grown in FY 2026 of 10%. And specialty ingredients will continue to track similar growth to what we have done over the last, you know, two, three years. So, that is how we kind of build visibility for 2027 and 2028.
Right. Okay. And you mentioned that our margins in PFN, the pharma, food and nutrition segment, the margins will also grow. So do we see the overall consolidated margins growing as well?
Yes. So I think if you see our margins for the year, are, I would say, you know, around maybe 200 basis points on the EBITDA side, maybe, lower, and also on the PAT. Also, because we have invested significantly in building out the teams across Europe and North America, they will both start to positively contribute to the business this year. So once that happens, I think in the next couple of quarters, you will see the margin kind of tracking back to the, you know, the what we were delivering maybe in FY 2024 and FY 2025.
Okay, so we can see the margins at similar level as 37%-38%?
Correct.
In FY 2027. Okay. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. We will take our next question from the line of Nitin Gandhi from Inoquest Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking the question. Leaving aside battery material, what is the maximum revenue potential of the other business?
Hi, Nitin, good morning. You mean with the capacity that we are bringing on?
Yeah.
So excluding battery, once this greenfield, now that is commissioned, the business can scale to approximately 1,000-1,200 crores without any incremental CapEx in the existing product portfolio.
Okay. And, are there measures to increase margin beyond 35% to some 40%, or it will remain flat at 35%, only at peak?
No. So I think, as I mentioned, I think if you see the last couple of years, we were maybe our margin profile was stronger than it is this year. There is an upfront cost that we are incurring today or have, we have incurred in FY 2026 for the, for mainly on the, on building out the inventory, warehousing, and the team that we have built. They will positively contribute, and you will see margins, you know, kind of, increase back to the historical average levels of 2024, 2025.
No, no. I'm saying, leaving aside those one-time adjustment which happened during this exceptional year, 2026, while building the new facilities, are there any steps, designs or some other level way or, product mix or something which you have, aspire to do so that the margin can further increase?
Yeah.
Maybe complexity level is increased or whatever it is.
Yeah. So I think I mentioned in my commentary that, you know, we have launched a new product, molecule called bisglycinate, which are again clinically proven for higher absorption. That product category will be a higher margin contribution, will have higher margin contribution to the business. FY 2027 will be the first year where we kind of produce that at scale, but in starting FY 2028, you will see the higher contribution coming from this category towards the business.
Okay. What is the addressable market for that in North America?
I think I mentioned, I think the current global demand for this ingredient is around $1 billion for the ingredient alone. North America would be 40%-50% of that global demand.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks for taking my question.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question, may press star and one. We will take our next question from the line of Shreya Chatterjee from Ageless Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for taking my question. For the pharma and nutrition segment, the new molecules that you mentioned,
Could you just give a color as to how, like, what's the margin or the unit pricing or the unit economics profile of your current portfolio versus your new molecules? And what can be the, like you said, it's a $1 billion market potential, but where do we see capturing the market of that? And how competitive are we versus our global peers?
So I think there were a few questions. I will try to answer, and then if I miss out on anything, you please let me know. So bisglycinate, I think, like our core business, the competition sits between Europe and North America. I think there is a company in North America which is the largest in this category. The competitiveness is more on the chemistry or the performance of the ingredient, not necessarily the price, because if you see, so maybe globally, there is a huge demand or double-digit growth in demand for magnesium supplements, specifically magnesium bisglycinate, which is targeted for better sleep and muscle recovery. We have, I would say, in FY26, we have received approvals from two of the largest consumers of this product in the US market. As you know, that it's a clinical product, so it takes time to build wallet share, but we are very, very, I would say, excited for this opportunity. And over the next 2 years, two to three years, you will see this category becoming a sizable revenue contributor for Sudeep.
You also mentioned about the these might be higher realization, and you also have a couple of products in your portfolio. So how much should one think, like how much higher realization would it be versus your current portfolio? And similarly, in case of battery chemicals, how competitive are we versus, for example, China or the other players?
So I think the realization for the bisglycinate or the new category is very different to our core business. So I would say it would not be fair to even compare those. On the battery side, the goal is not to compete with China. Our focus right from the beginning since we started this business has been to give a product which is highly competitive from a performance perspective against the Chinese iron phosphate, because 100% of iron phosphate today is manufactured in China. We have now successfully achieved the product performance that is required by the customer. And because there are geographic or regulatory requirements that require a ex-China supply chain, benefiting from the China plus one or the regulatory requirements for this category.
So if I understand correctly, you mentioned that you are in both pharma and battery chemicals, you are targeting a more high value performance kind of a chemicals. So that will have a higher realization, and that will invariably place you at a better competitive scenario. So if you could just quantify like how much higher the realization would be for both these verticals, like any color to that, like a range or something versus the normal commodity grade things that you supply.
So as I said, I think the battery business will operate with very different financial metrics. It will have a very different working capital scenario, different margin profile, and different scalability altogether. As I said, or from a margin perspective, we will not talk too much today about the battery as well as the new molecules that we bring into market, right? We have to also safeguard not to make everything too public, because our suppliers, customers, everyone would have access to this information.
Yeah, but then the realization would be different, like not just battery chemical, I'm talking about the pharma, food, nutrition as well. The realization of your new grade molecules that you're bringing, including the molecule that you talked about, that will be higher, like 10%, 20% higher than your current portfolio. The realization I'm talking about, not the margin.
So realization, as I mentioned, it would not be fair to compare, because the bisglycinate product that we're talking about has four times the realization of our current portfolio. Right, but it is, as I said, it's it really depends on, and it gets too technical, but you have to look at the strength of each product, and the realization varies based on strength, on the application clinical data. So which is why I'm not giving you a straight 10% 20% answer for this category.
Got it. And what's the current capacity utilization across all our facilities right now, excluding the battery thing that's coming online across our brownfield facilities?
So for our pharma food nutrition, without the greenfield that we are commissioning this year, we are between 65 and 70% utilization on that vertical, which is why the greenfield. On specialty ingredients, we would be between 35 and 40% utilization.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you for taking my question.
Thank you.
Thank you. We will take our next question from the line of Akash from Sahasrar Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Hello?
Sir, you are audible. You may please proceed.
Yeah, hi. So my question was regarding the proprietary green technology that we have. So is it only for the battery materials, or it is also for the, you know, pharma and food ingredients that we are manufacturing? And if you can help us understand what exactly we are doing, and is it benefit us in terms of, you know, byproduct or the raw material that is left over? Are we doing any value addition in that, and is it getting being reused?
Hi, Akash. So when we talk about the six proprietary technologies, that is towards the specialty ingredients vertical that we have. These are techs that we have built and developed in-house, again, to compete with the players mainly across North America and Europe. And the second question that you had around battery materials, so yeah, this technology also is developed in-house. As a product, it's not a new product for us. We have been making a food-grade iron phosphate for the past 10 years. We've built on that chemistry expertise and then engineered the product to have the superior performance for the battery industry.
Okay.
And sir, is it
helping? Yeah.
Sorry. No, I was just mentioning maybe to the other question. So I didn't maybe entirely catch the question clearly, but there is no byproduct raw material that we are using for these these product categories.
Okay, got it. Thank you. And sir, will it help us in any way in the margins profile that we have, right?
Yeah, so I think specialty ingredients has a stronger margin profile. That has been the growth driver, and that will continue to sustain going forward. So based on that, the margin of the overall business should improve.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. We will take our next question from the line of Nitin Gandhi from Innoquest Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Coming back on glycinate, what are we targeting, pure or buffered? And how are we positioning mid-premium or little higher? And what are the distribution channels you are targeting, Costco, Wellness, or subscription wellness, or whatever best you can share on those parts? And whom are we benchmarking against the existing product for sales, market share or something? Thank you.
Hello, Nitin. So, you know, we will be offering both the fully chelated one, the chelated one, and the buffered as well. So that this is as per the need of the market. And of course, as the companies you mentioned, of course, these are our targets, and we have got good approvals, you know, so that with the CMOs for this product. And as you might be aware, the largest manufacturer or the market leader in this product is a company called Volcam in the US.
Nitin, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. I thought you were giving some more inputs. I was quiet.
So for the sales, we have our own sales team in Europe and the US. So our focus is to work through our sales team for getting the optimal benefits in the pricing.
More of a B2B, B2C, what are your targets?
No, we are a B2B company, and we work with all the large CMOs of the companies you mentioned.
Okay. Wish you all the best. Maybe we'll take some questions when we meet personally. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference back to the management for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for taking the time to join Sudhir Pharma's Q4 and FY26 investor call. And we look forward to continue engaging with all our investors. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Sudhir Pharma Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us today, and you may now disconnect your lines.